The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And in this segment, in this hour, we'll be discussing glorious cricket. There's a lot taking place, CPL T20. A lot of people involved. We see the matches, all the discussions taking place. And joining us this morning, we're expecting to have two gentlemen, one already on. Regional cricket commentator joining us this morning, Barry Wilkinson. Good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Hi, good morning to you, and good morning to your many listeners.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning as we begin just a bit. Let me give you the opportunity to familiarize listeners with you. Tell us a bit about yourself, some of what you're involved in.
Well, essentially, I'm a broadcaster who's been in the business from the age of 16. I would have done the Northern Telecom Youth Cricket Tournament in St. Kitts in 1993. And I haven't stopped working in the cricket broadcast since then. So you're talking about 30 years in the business. I'm now at the Hugh Whitten Law School, finishing my legal education certificate. So I'm very much alive and well in Trinidad. And I've been covering CPL since its inception in 2013, when the Cricket West Indies or West Indies Cricket Board would have signed over to the then buyer, Ajmal Khan, who would then after that would have made a different signatory to new owners. So I've been doing CPL cricket for 11 seasons now, and this is just a pleasure to be here talking with you about it.
Before we get into the present season, let's talk about the competition itself, CPL, and what CPL has done to revive interest in cricket in the region. Was it needed? Was the interest always there? Did it capitalize, or did it provide a forum and a platform that has re-energized supporters across the region in this thing called cricket? You've been doing it for 11 years. You would have had the opportunity to see it back then and now. What's your impression?
I think it's a mixture of all three of those things that you have just mentioned, but the main one is that it has kept interest in the game, which was waned. Interest in cricket has been dying for a number of years, mainly because the West Indies team has not been doing well. They won two World Cups in 2012 and 2016, which has kept some interest and ignited any interest that might have been going down the hill. But when you look at the overall picture, we have dropped from the number one team in the world to the number 7, 8, and 9, respectively, Test, ODIs, and T20. So that just tells you how much we have really dropped down the barrel. The creation of IPL, the Indian Premier League, and other leagues has also put a dent in West Indies' cricket performances. And I say that with the greatest respect, that a lot of players have done quite well financially, but those financial rewards have not come from playing for West Indies, have come from playing in the leagues. So on the other hand, you've had players who have improved their game, but the game has not necessarily improved in the region as a result. And that's the sad thing. So Caribbean Premier League has come about to keep interest in regional cricket. Because let's face it, back in the days of the 80s, the 70s, 80s, 90s, you had Shell Shield cricket, which kept a sense of regionalism in cricket in the world, in the Caribbean. That interest has died because many people don't follow four-day cricket as it stands like before. So when Barbados is playing Trinidad in a four-day game, nobody in the region knows, no one cares. But when Barbados is playing TKR, that regionalism continues to live. And I think that has done well for TKR playing against Ghana, that's done well for Barbados playing Trinidad. You know, there's still that sense, CPL has still brought that sense of rivalry in the Caribbean. And that was dying. It was dead. Mm-hmm. And they've done that magnificently well. And I think that's one of the main components of the energy that they've brought to cricket again in the region.
Now, many people go back to the days of Alan Stanford. And Alan Stanford and his involvement, some of the initiative that he started when it comes to cricket and the shorter version of the game. There were people back then who thought it to be an abomination, introducing this shorter version of the game. But we see that societies have morphed. People do not have the time to go watch a game for 4 days and then a draw after 4 days, or to go in and take the longer version of one-day cricket and so on. And Had it not been for the advent of the shorter version of the game, what do you think would have been the situation with cricket in the region?
I think it would have deceased. It would have been, you know, something that we would have talked about happened in the Caribbean. What Alan Stanford did for cricket was brilliant. I'm not getting into the politics of where the money came from and what he did with the money and so on. I'm not dealing with that. That's irrelevant at this stage. But when you look at the sense of regionalism that he put back into cricket is what I was talking about that was dying. So, and the regionalism that was in the Stanford T20 is different to CPL because it was not as franchise-based. So you had Barbadians who were all Barbadians. You had Trinidadians who were all Trinidadians. You had Guyanese who were all Guyanese. I remember with Darren Ganga, captain in Trinidad and Tobago, Ronnie Sarwan, captain in Guyana, Chris Gayle, captain in Jamaica. You know, and I can go on. When you look at what's happening now with CPL, even though there's a sense of regionalism, there's also that franchise aspect that has made people kind of be a little confused at times. You had Kyron Pollard captain in Barbados for a long time. You had Cylinder Ryan when it began captain in Ghana. You had persons like Chris Gayle, well, he would have captained the Jamaica Talawas initially. You had Marlon Samuels captaining the Antigua Hawksbill. So CPL was a little different to the Alan Stanford era. The Alan Stanford era was more regional cricket. CPL is more franchise-based cricket. So while that regionalism is still captured somewhat because of the names of the teams, Stanford was different because his players were actually from those particular territories. And he also had a wider net. So he had more teams in it. He had St. Lucia. He had St. Croix. He had Nevis. He actually had teams that were spreading the entire Caribbean. And I guess because he had a larger pool of money to play with, he was able to develop those teams. And we saw players develop from little islands that we never knew even existed. We saw back then, you had a young Powell who was only 16 years old when he made his debut, when he played for Nevis. Many people did not know about him. He went on to play for the Leeward Islands. He went on to play for the West Indies. He's played for a couple of franchises. It's unfortunate now that in his early 30s or whatever, he's not playing as much as before. But the opportunities that we saw from people, we saw Leverock from Bermuda, a very big gentleman. You talk about Rakeem Cornwall now. Well, Leverock was even bigger than Rakeem, and he was a sensation when he was playing in the Stanford T20. So Stanford T20 just showed us the amount of cricket being played in the region and who was playing this cricket. We had a lot of young individuals and old individuals that were starved and waiting to play T20 cricket. And CPL came with a franchise-based approach, which is modernized now in the bigger game. IPL has a franchise approach. The Big Bash is a franchise approach. You know, you have a situation where like someone like Virat Kohli. Virat Kohli plays for Royal Challengers Bangalore, but Virat Kohli is from Delhi. So these are things that have the face of cricket has changed and the CPL changed with it. So even though that regionalism is still there, it's a franchise-based tournament that has mimicked and mirrored the rest of the world who are doing the very same thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting picking apart and dissecting what's going on with the cricket. That the name Trinbago Knight Riders or whatever else, Talawas or this or whatever else, does not necessarily reflect the country per se, but the brand. Some people lose focus on that because they still see it as well, Trinbago Knight Riders is Trinidad and Tobago. But you're right, the Alan Stanford experience brought about a greater sense of patriotism because it was homegrown teams. And representing these citizens who put all their hopes and dreams on their team winning the competition, because that's great pips. You know, some of these small teams were coming out and were doing pretty well. The politics of it and all of that, we're not here to get into because
exactly.
It's water under the bridge. But you cannot deny the role that the Stanford style played in ensuring that cricket did not die. CPL has come and the IPL, they've both come and we see now where the shorter version of the game is definitely what people want. And we'll get into a bit of what is taking place in this after these messages, because we do have a couple messages that we need to take. For those of you who are listening in to us this morning, we're talking cricket and, of course, the CPL T20, our special guest this morning, regional cricket commentator Barry Wilkinson. We'll probably take some of your calls and some of your messages as well. Stay with us. Welcome back. 23 and a half after nine. Continuing to speak about cricket, with us our special guest, regional cricket commentator Barry Wilkinson. Before we get into the standings and the points and the tables and who performing and who not performing and all those kinds of things, you said to us that you've been covering CPL since it started, really, 11 years ago. Well, at least 11 years ago. And you've had the opportunity to monitor the game, the competition, for all those years. Have there been any changes to the competition? And if so, how has it changed, for the better or for the worse? What's your opinion?
I think the competition has changed from a perspective where we are not seeing the creme de la creme of international cricketers any longer.
Mm-hmm.
This tournament has seen AB de Villiers play in the tournament. It has seen Steve Smith play in the tournament. It has seen Kane Williamson play in this tournament. You get the picture. Mm-hmm. Of course, never Indians would have played because of the ban that the BCCI, the Cricket Board of India, put on their Indian players who are playing. Not to play in any other league besides IPL. So outside of the Indian cricketers, we've had the top league professional cricketers play in CPL. What is happening now? There's major clashes with the scheduling. And you have the Asia Cup, which is ongoing now, which means that none of the Pakistanis are available. None of the Sri Lankans are available. None of the Afghanistan players are available. So there's no Rashid Khan, for example, this year. It means that South Africa are playing against Australia, so none of the South Africans are available. None of the Australians are available. It means that England have carried their county season and international season deeper into the quote-unquote summer. So they're playing against New Zealand now. So what does that mean? None of the English top flight players are available. None of the Kiwi top flight players are available. So it has left CPL with a gaping hole. And that hole has been that we have a lot of cricketers who are not high on international experience. So Barbados, where in years gone by, they would have had like a Shoaib Malik batting at number three. Then they have a player like Laurie Evans, who's never played for England, but has been playing professional cricket for Sussex for so long. You've got players like Hatsugulu, who is a leg spinner out of Australia that can't even get into his international side, but plays, Sheffield Shield cricket and was able to come and play for the Guyana Amazon Warriors, or St. Lucia Kings, correction. You have players that are playing like Prabhabaskar, who can't get into the Sri Lankan team. So he's there playing for St. Lucia Kings. So that's just to show you how the caliber of cricketers that the CPL might have attracted has diminished, not because of the tournament, but because of the international scheduling. I am not insinuating anything. But I find it funny that the ICC and international boards have colluded at this particular stage to schedule these tournaments the same time CPL is playing. Another thing is, people are not seeing West Indies cricket in the light that they used to see it of. West Indies cricket was a very much sought-after thing. Now we're not even at the World Cup. So these international teams would have scheduled these tournaments because they figure we need better preparation to the World Cup in India, which is next month. West Indies are not playing in that. They didn't make it. And I believe that that is one of the reasons why CPL this year is taking a giant bite. Now, that bite can continue if West Indies cricket doesn't pull their socks up and next year you've got another T20 World Cup. It can happen again. So CPL has to really protect itself with their scheduling of the tournament so that it does not clash so much with other international tournaments. Or not, we're not going to be seeing the top flight cricketers come to the Caribbean anymore.
Do you think I understand the geopolitics of cricket, because last year when we had World Cup, we had issues with the club cricket and persons being able to the time frame between which World Cup and the club and all those things that it took place yesterday. Is the same thing taking place with cricket? You have the various tournaments taking place across the world, and because of that, people are not able to engage in the way that they would. But does that mean that the quality of the game has been compromised?
Yeah, of course the quality of the game has been compromised. Put it this way. If you had Ronaldo and Lionel Messi playing football in Trinidad and Tobago all their life, would they be top-flight footballers? No. So if you're going to have second-class cricketers playing in our league, our cricketers will not get better. I remember in the year 2000 when Archer Bolden and Obadeli Thompson ran in the finals of the 100 meters in Sydney at the Olympics. Both Atten and Oba said that the reason that they placed second and third was because they were running next to each other and they pushed each other. In cricket, it's the same thing. If you don't have good quality cricketers playing and making it highly competitive and pushing each other, you're not going to have a great level of cricketer being turned and churned out. So we need to have the best cricketers playing in this league so our cricketers develop and get better. Kieran Pollard, Nicholas Puran, Dwayne Bravo, Sunil Narain, Andre Russell, Jason Holder to a lesser extent. They would not have been the top flight cricketers that they are today if they were not playing amongst other high-flying cricketers. So yes, we need to have those high-flying cricketers playing in the leagues. It's critical.
Yeah. To the spectators, that may not necessarily make much of a difference. To analysts like yourself and commentators and so on, you see the danger of a development like this and what it could possibly mean and some of the implications that are already being felt and recognized across the region. But to many of the people that I speak to who go to cricket, they quite frankly go to this thing because it's a big line. At the end of the day, and some people go and, for the final few overs, we go pay attention because that's when the game get really exciting and all that kind of thing. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty now of what's going on this year for CPL. Major upsets, are the teams performing the way we expect them to? Tell us.
Yeah, well, before I go into that, the thing about it is that the spectator does not have the vision, perhaps, of someone like myself or who someone else who is following. So they will feel this way for a couple of seasons. But then when the cricket gets watered down and it gets boring, they ain't going to come to land. So it's important that their interest is also protected by good cricket, because you'll get the exciting cricket only if it is good. If the cricket continues to be watered down, they're not going to come in the 2 and 3 seasons. And then we'll be saying, oh, boy, remember when... You know, people are saying, I remember when West Indies cricket had Stormire, when West Indies cricket had Richards, and we had Garner, and we had Croft. And after a while, it just dissipated. That will happen too. So while a man is coming now for the event to have a good line, if in 5 years the line gets sour because the cricket is no good, it's not exciting, he ain't going to come. So it has to be protected now so that liming and that sense of wanting to come to something that is big is good. If you have every year a concert in Trinidad and Tobago where you have Michelle, you have Kes, and everybody is coming, and then next year Michelle and Kes don't sing, and you still have a lot of people coming, but then the next year they don't sing again, the crowd is going to begin to say, well, this is foolishness. I come in to hear Barry Wilkinson sing, he don't sing the song, he don't sing the Kaiso, and they will start not coming. So you have to keep Kes coming. You have to keep Michelle coming. And if you don't keep that standard up, people will stop coming. They won't do it one time, but it will just slowly dissipate. So that is the cricket analogy that you must understand, where a crowd is going to keep coming year after year. People come to CPL because of the reputation. You perhaps go, you go around, ask people who's playing, they don't even probably don't even know. But they know that this is CPL they're at. So you have to keep that reputation, you have to keep that legacy up, or not. If it dissipates, you want to have that crowd. When it comes to the cricket this year now, the performances from the immersion players have been weak, and this is why I'm concerned. We're still marketing CPL based on those people who started it in 2013. Look who's playing for TKR and is heavily marketed. Kieran Pollard, he was there from the beginning. Andre Russell, he was there from the beginning. Sunil Narain, he was there from the beginning. You even got Dwayne Bravo on the sidelines, not playing, but still pushing the team because he's working in that capacity. The point I'm making is, who are the stars that we are creating for the next generation? Those guys are not going to be playing within 3 to 5 years. They'll be in their 40s. Mm-hmm. So I am worried about the generation that's coming behind, because the emerging players are not lifting their hands and putting them up and saying, I am the next star. And that is worrying, because the same people you're talking about coming to watch a good line and have an exciting day and night out are not going to come to a sour dough match. And if you don't have good cricketers, they ain't going to come. And that's just what's going on.
Yeah. We need to take a couple of messages. When we get back, we delve deep into this season of the CPL and what's going on and how have the teams been performing, some of the challenges they've been encountering, some of the probably the better performances that we've been seeing. And our special guest telling us, guiding us along in this conversation, regional cricket commentator Barry Wilkinson. Stay with us. Welcome back. 20 minutes before 10. With us, Barry Wilkinson, regional cricket commentator. We're delving deep into the CPL. So before we went to the break, I was asking you about, well, let's look at what's been going on this season and what's taking place with the teams. How have they been performing? Are they up to scratch? Is it what we were expecting from them? I think we have a call, though. Let's see if we have somebody on the line. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Captain.
Good morning,
morning to your guest. I used to be a big cricket fan until they got to the 50 overs and it's just cricket. And I know the masses want the T20 and all, but to me, in my humble opinion, I think the T20 has destroyed the skill of the game. Rather than voking and hitting every ball for six and all kind of thing, I don't know if anybody is looking into bringing back at least the 50 overs. So you could see some sort of strategy employed in the game. I'll listen off it.
Yep. Thank you so much for your call. What's your take on that suggestion?
Yeah, there's a high level of merit to what the call is saying. As you would know, cricket started by day of 6-day tests, and then it went to 5-day tests, of course. And I think people in the West Indies, true cricket fans, their level of interest, their level of support for cricket is based solely upon test cricket, which people see as the pure game. T20s has indeed created some a different dynamic, a dynamic that people think have destroyed, and it's destroying the game because it's taking away its purity. And there is indeed a great level of merit to it. But at the same time, we have to look at how times have changed and times are changing. The facts are that only in England, New Zealand to a less extent, probably Australia and South Africa, and Australia on select days and select individuals and select territories they play against, will attract massive crowds in test cricket. So test cricket has waned. The interest for test cricket has waned significantly throughout the world. And it's sad, but it's just a way, and a way that people have turned to is the T20, the shorter version, because times have changed. And West Indies have had to change in those times. And in changing those times, I believe that our cricket has suffered somewhat in the standard. It's all the best.
And that's where we drop the curtains on our interview here this morning. A couple messages to take us up to the top.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.